Blog Talk Radio. Wednesday. Happy hump day. This is Gray Eye Smith, and you're listening to The Art of Seduction. This is a late night poets production, and we are a group on allpoetry.com. As well, we have some anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on a contest called Your Favorite Seduction Poem, and I will be reading through this list tonight, and hopefully I'll have some callers. Just check the studio real quick here. No, it's just me. Okay, so the first poem is by E.J. Cool. There we go. And this is actually an open poetry piece. Orchid. Blooming, Layla, Leah, Orchid, Labia Majora, Sepias, swollen, Sepals, Swollen Ripe, Balanopus, Carnivora, Pulsating, Poised Pistil, Primed for Pollination, Awaiting Transfer from Erect Stamen, Brimming with Nectar, Petite Petal Cups, Spill Over, End Poem. Wow. That was definitely a very tasteful yet alluring write. It's just an amazing alliteration, and the imagery was fantastic. Very vivid poem. You know, it really goes through all the stages of a flower's procreation, and I thought it was just a beautiful and tasteful piece. So well done, EJ. Thank you for your contribution tonight. And I'm going to grab the next poem, and we'll post this to the board. Okay. Okay, this next poem is by Ken Dahl, and it's called Miss the Connection. And Positive Direction. I miss the intimacy deep inside her privacy, always hard anticipation with my oral fixation, my throbbing head, bending her over, not making it to the bed. Pinching nipples hard, playing with breasts, taking my time on the rest. With a finger and a kiss, like that and like this. Licking her lips and swollen. A little tease and begging please. The skin on skin, the first push in. Pulling out to feel it again. My flank-eating grin, the warm and wet. Every inch met, a firm embrace, kissing her face. Just one touch, never enough. The heavy breathing, harder's pleasing. In sync to a rhythm, going faster, trying my hardest to last her. Bodies pounding, a beating, our needs are meeting. Twitching and pulsating to quiver, ecstasy shivers with pleasure, flowing like a river. The seduction and blank round 2, 3, and 4. Each time I want her more. Without touching another, you start missing positive direction, the kissing connection. And, you know, it was definitely a very visceral poem, definitely on the adult side of things. And well penned, for sure. You know, it has all the aspects of conjugation between two people, and I thought it was, yes, definitely an adult poem, for sure. But well done, Kendall. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next phone here. Check the studio real quick. Okay, so... and no callers. All right, I'll grab the next phone here. Okay, and this is, I gave you the last sip of wine by John Nacopolo. Knowing the sweetness your lips would leave on the bottle, just as your coming and going empties me. Sweet vintage that only you can pour forth. Once tasted, all else is bitterness. And I am left trampled in a vineyard, sober and alone. And he says it's dedicated to Rumi. Yeah, that was a wonderful write on the subject of somebody tasting like wine and being, you know, that intoxicating pleasure that we all find with a bottle of wine. And I thought it was definitely a well-done piece by John Nacopolo. So thank you, John, for sharing and entering my contest. Okay. So I'm going to post this into the group. I'm grabbing the next link here. And this is by Orentz, and it's called Dies by Orentz. The candle's flame rises the shadows, flickering on the intriguing part between and beginning and ending, speaking about wandering, journeys, phrases, and bows, promising but not yielding heaven just yet. The shapely curve of cap leads to a primordial valley, milky laden slopes, avalanche ready, lit open, yanked apart in exhaled earthquakes. And wow, that was a fabulous poem on the subject of thighs and their part in the sensuality of a woman's body. And I thought it was just a wonderful, talented write. The shapely curve of a calf leaves to a primordial valley, milky laden slopes, avalanche ready, that open, yanked apart in exhaled earthquakes. Fascinating imagery. I really liked her flow as well. It had a beautiful flow to it. So well done, Orentz, and thank you for sharing. Okay, I'm going to grab the next link here, and I'll post this to the board. Oops, wrong link. Okay, and this is probably a brevity by Marvin Goldfarb, and it's called Treat Her Kindly. Treat her kindly. I like the rivers that flow. It works best when it's slow. Tell her you love her so. She is important, you know. Don't try too hard to impress. Don't rush to remove her dress. Let her have her space. Then into your arms she will race. Being kind shows you have a good heart and mind. And he says in its author's notes, it appears that the river was a metaphor for a lover, kindness. And well done, Brevity Marvin. I mean, you always have such tough, touching poetry. I mean, you can feel your love and admiration for your wife and most of your rights as well. So I just thought it was an excellent, beautifully penned piece, and it was a joy to read. excellent narration, and the rhyming was great as well. So beautiful job, Marvin, and thank you for sharing. Right. And then there's Pam in the group. Hello, Pam, how are you? Let me check the studio real quick. Oh, yep, she's here. Woohoo! Hi, Pam.
I thought you had, I wasn't sure if you had already unmuted me, Gray, because you were like, hi, Pam, how are you? And I'm like, I didn't hear him unmute me, but I was responding. I am doing great, Gray. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good. Appreciate you calling in.
Oh, absolutely. And always happy to call in.
Did you get a chance to hear Marvin Goldfarb's right?
I didn't have a chance to hear it, but I did get a chance to read it. As always, you know, he's just wonderful with brevity, really nice rhyme and flow. And, you know, he always has a good message. You know, in this one, obviously, the message being, you know, I really like, you know, don't try too hard to impress, don't rush to remove her dress. You know, the idea of, you know, how to treat a woman, you know, and to show her that you have a good heart and a good mind. So wonderful brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That's a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam, when you see this.
I would be happy to.
Awesome, possum.
All right.
There we go.
Our Night by Lily the Poet. And it goes like this. That night, sky was dangerous with heavy dark clouds. Cold rain was pouring down my face. Then I saw you for the first time. You were standing there, so real, not my fantasy. Hardest street pirate, cool and wonderful. Your clothes were wet, all in a mess. But in those dark eyes, sunset of your age, just amazed my heart. You offered me shelter, tent with your name on it. I could smell your dark skin and passion through my body. We captured our lips in wild kisses till my hands wander through your gray hair. You were like a wild, you were like wild, strong Mustang, letting me ride you till morning exchanged for night in the dawn. Rain stopped, clouds disappeared, and air was fresh and clean from the storm. Inside we lay in each other's arms, happy and tired, wet from love. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And this is a well-written poem. You know, it has fantastic flow to it, and imagery just flows right along with it as well throughout the write. And you can picture this scene of them standing in the rain and meeting their eyes for the first time. And then, you know, they captured their lips in wild kisses until that led to the next morning when they wake up in each other's arms, happy and tired, wet from love. Just a fantastic poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. Yeah, that ending was absolutely beautiful. I like how this is about the idea of not only the lovemaking itself, but somebody offering protection to somebody, you know, watching over them. You know, there's a real sense of connection. I do apologize for accidental. I didn't skip, but I just, you know how it is, you're on a line and then you're all of a sudden, how did I get here? And but anyways, wonderful imagery. I really did like the ending, plus we captured our lips in wild kisses till my hands wandered through your gray hair. You were like wild, strong Mustang letting me ride you. Just very seductive lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great, great comment. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. And I will give this a read. This is called Poison by Fran Marie. Bring it, Iceman. Bring your sweet love and your bad self if you dare. Yes, cometh into my boudoir of inequity lair. Come, rub your eyes all up and down me, now that you found me waiting here. A femme fatale is what I am. Are you prepared? How easy, very easy it was with my sexy wicked ways to lure you into my web of deceit. Never was I at a loss to pleasure you with an exciting evening filled with sex favors, such sumptuous treats, letting you think you made the first moves to satisfy my sweet. Ah, you were my night's adventure. I charmed from the streets. My mysterious aura intrigued you, piqued a curiosity within your ice-ridden soul, inflaming your passion with my femme fatale passions. Ah, yes, that is when I took control, turning you on, fulfilling your desires. So smooth, you thought, touching my skin, sliding your hand up my silky red dress. Slowly, I guided your iced but nice hand up my thighs, higher to the best, a burning fire tempting you into delightful sin. You iced me nicely, then again and again. I yielded ever so sweetly to your supreme manhood prowess as you cried out in ecstasy, surrendering to a femme fatale's ultimate test. Smooth, so smooth. Oh, yes, to the touch. Sweet flowing honey, the ultimate rush. Yes, oh yes, a icy hot flash. How could you have known the profound evil I own? With a poison that drips from my lips, thinking I've won. Too much of a sexual thrill to kill. I want more of him still. You can come and ice me, or so I thought. But now I've melted your hard, icy facade. I caught myself. I find myself caught. I find that when the iceman cometh, he is really hot. End poem. And, you know, this is a powerful expression of the femme fatale and her talents to melt the heart of an iceman and be captured herself in doing so. So it had a beautiful imagery and flow to it. It really had a wonderful rhythm to it. It was a pleasure to read this. And what did you think, Pam?
Well, before I comment, I did want to mention that you have a caller. I believe it might be Bobby. Yep.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yep. And, I think this is absolutely amazing. Wonderful, seductive write. I like how it's got that edge of darkness to it with the whole, as you mentioned, the skills of the femme fatale, and I like how there's this seduction and kind of nice, really nice humor at the end. I find that when the Iceman cometh, he really is hot. That was very enjoyable, and I like the attitude put into this. I yielded ever so freely to your supreme manhood prowess as you cried out in ecstasy, surrendering to femme fatale's ultimate test. Smooth, so smooth, oh yes, to the touch. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. Hello and welcome, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
It is. C'est moi.
Hey, Bobby.
I come with my own fanfare.
All right. Great. Did you get to hear that last write?
Did. It was spicy and saucy and provocative and a really, really great write. Very heady, very visceral. This is, if you could bottle it, it would be hot sauce.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for that wonderful comment. And would you mind reading the next one, please, Bobby?
Mind? No. I live for that request. Okay. Let me find, whoops, I've lost myself. Okay. Hang on a second. Here I am. Here I am. Okay. We have Just My Luck by Serious Clown. There we go. I watched her walk into the room with a beauty you rarely see, long blonde hair and bright blue eyes, and she's walking straight to me, stopped right in front of me, and took me by the hand, led me up the staircase to a place I understand. She took off all her clothes and lay upon the bed. It was obvious what she wanted, and I was one step ahead. She said, "You are my white knight, come to make love to your wench." I turned to touch her body and fell off the damn park bench. End poem.
Wow. That's where the title comes in, Just My Luck. Yeah, you know, this is definitely a dreamy, fantastical, right? You know, you can picture all this as it happens. She stopped right in front of me and took me by the hand, led me up the staircase to a place I understand. And then she said, "You are my white knight. Come make love to your wench." I turned to touch her body and fell off the damn park bench. Hilarious. I mean, that's a magical daydream there. And so what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. It's got that what I call that punchline ending. It really, like, if it's the first time you're reading it, you know, which it wasn't the first time for me, but it still was absolutely delightful. I love the way he leads you up to that ending, and you're thinking there's something wonderful and romantic going on, and then all of a sudden hits you with the falling off the park bench. So very clever and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I liked the tongue-in-cheek ending. It reminded me of the old joke, "Do you believe in sex on TV?" I said, "Yeah, but I keep falling off."
Yeah.
It was a great tease. It takes you right to the end and then gives you a little wink and a nod and a tongue-in-cheek, and it has fun with itself, which I think is great. Not often do you find a writer who can laugh at themselves.
Yeah. True enough. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. An excellent read as well. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. If you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I'd be happy to. All right. And
okay.
Reading. There it is. Okay. All right. "Sketch You and I" by Beatnik. And it goes like this. "I want to sketch you and I in a lover's embrace. Let me sketch your lips calling for mine. I need to feel your touch and trace every curve of a face and body so sublime. I draw us in animation as our rhythm takes us breath to breathless speech and the love words only we know, talking of our most primal passion unleashed. Time has become meaningless as we satisfy each other's thirst. You fulfill my fantasies. I feel your nectar burst. We crescendo and collapse in each other's arms. Again, we kiss and hold in a lover's embrace. I fondle your silky hair, and I am captured by your face. You look at me adoringly with a seductive gleam in your eye, hoping I'll recover soon so we can continue through the night." End poem.
Fantastic read, Pam. And, I mean, you can picture this as he says it. "I want to sketch you, and in a lover's embrace, and I in a lover's embrace. Let me sketch your lips calling for mine. I need to feel your touch and trace every curve of a face and body so sublime." I mean, that's an epic beginning, and it really holds through that nature all the way through the right. We crescendo and collapse in each other's arms. Again, we kiss and hold in a lover's embrace. I fondle your silky hair, and I am captured by your face. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I agree. It sets the stage beautifully. It's very expressive. It's very passionate. It tells a great story. I think it's a wonderful piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely captivating. It had a wonderful flow to it. I really like how there's this idea of wanting to capture this moment of intimacy through art. And it's wonderful all the way through, but I particularly like the third and fourth stanzas. So I thought those were very well done.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I'm posting the next link here. Oh, and what did you think? Oh, wait, actually, I got you, didn't I, Bobby?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. All right, so this is by Doc Frank, and it's called Sensuality. Emotions unrestrained by expectations, feeling so free, like an eagle on the breeze. I'm independent, no anticipations, only my desires. I'm attracted to you like a steel magnet. You feel the same too. What's love got to do with it? Your caress warms up my toes. Your passionate kiss stirs my urges. Your fingers magic to my libido. Tongue probing air, inhibitions left on rocket. As our sweating naked bodies joined, physically, but also emotionally. Two souls, intertwined, united. End poem. Wow, that was really very adult, right, for Doc Frank. I don't think I've ever seen one to this nature. But he did a fabulous job with the coming together of two people and the feelings that come along with that. You know, you... independent with no anticipations, only his desire. I'm attracted to you like a steel magnet. You feel the same too. So what's love got to do with it? You know, when you just meet, you know, you can't be in love, I don't think. And so you go through these coming together of spirits and souls and intertwining through lovemaking, which is you know, a beautiful thing. So. Well done, Doc. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is a wonderful sensual write on the idea of it's all about the physicality, all about that there's no emotional expectations, there's no relationship expectations. It's simply two people being in the moment and passionately and physically enjoying each other's bodies. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with your comment that this is a departure for Doc Frank. He's usually, a very matter of fact, and this is a very sensual ride for him, but still very intimate, not overly sensualized. It, actually, your caress warms my toes. That's beautiful. I mean, that is a real that is a personal touch. He does delve into the physical aspect, but still there is that personal. I'm attracted to you like steel to magnet. What's love got to do with it? Which I'm sure Tina Turner will forgive him for that. But still, it's a provocative piece, but it's very loving still.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, let me go to the next one here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby, would you mind reading this?
Nope. As soon as it pops up. and Fields of Laughter. Okay. We have Fields of Laughter by Kaibab. There you are. First kiss to last forever. Flying, dancing candles. Burnt to wax. Melting memory of skin. Hiding from her fragrant, searching fingers. Black lace fantasies. Still sighing. Panting strokes of yesterday's climax. Did you stow away? Stay behind to remind me of her tremors, passion fruit intoxicating witch hazel eyes, my soaring soul forever scented. She left her pictures too, dreams manifest and such a measure of delight. Her smile stretches as she feels my rising star explode or as deep within. Some memories are forever. Some thoughts are born to touch, so deep, so fast, so forever lasting as feathers taste in sipping sensual expression. In the wetness of sliding skin, every sense is brought to magic. First kiss, last as every move is motion driving focus even deeper. As bursting wave explodes emancipation, we are wised in wave alive as breath of soul in quaking quiver. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And this poem is enchanting and it's ethereal. It's such a deep connection to this person that he feels. And, you know, the connection can't be lost just because of the memory is so strong. You know, the wetness of sliding skin, every sense is brought to magic. First kiss last, as every move is motion driving focus even deeper. And then a bursting wave explodes emancipation. We are raised in wave alive. You know, that euphoric rise that you feel when, at climax is definitely otherworldly. And I mean, you know, generally you can't find that with anybody else besides the special person that has that key to your heart and soul. So I thought it was just a wonderful pen and beautifully read, Bobby. Cam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Ethereal is a perfect word to describe this, right? And it's beautiful how it's all about that memory, that memory that lasts forever. And you get that, as you were saying, that sense of connection that the two people have. I really particularly like, did you still always stay behind to remind me of her tremors, passion fruit, intoxicating witch hazel eyes, my soaring soul forever scented. You know, the idea that someone's eyes, someone's, you know, spirit forever makes an impact on you. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Beautiful. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Pam's comments. Marvelous. It has a spiritual quality to it. It reaches past the physical and reaches toward the ethereal, to the spiritual, how someone you connected with, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually, they tattoo themselves onto your psyche. And once they're are there forever, regardless of the ebb and flow of the emotions, that is a mark that stays forever. And I think this expresses that so beautifully and so elegantly.
Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Where are we? Kaibab. Okay. And if you wouldn't mind reading for Poeta de Cabra, Pam, that would be awesome.
All right. And this is Queen of Seduction by Poeta de Cabra. And it goes like this. I know you won't leave, no, you won't go, Once you look in my eyes, you can never say no. In your heart, you know to stay would be unwise, but I can easily seduce you with these come-to-bed eyes. With hair hidden under hat and sky blue fascinator, tell me how I adore you. I'm the perfect adulterator. Night will be perfect and the sex will be explicit. We'll have my way with you. I'm a real bitch, simply wicked. You have a wanton look now, perhaps even overzealous. Amazed at my film star looks, you realize why others are jealous. Tonight I will molest you, really put you through the ringer. You cannot say no to me, got you wrapped around my finger. Be best to take it like a man and to avoid all the controversy, because before the night is over, you will be begging for mercy. Now come to me, my man, and let us French kiss. Get yourself into gear for a night of pure bliss. Been watching you, watching me, undressing me with your eyes. My body is the perfect 10. Prepare for a total surprise. End poem.
Fantastic read, Pam. And, you know, I really like the way that he can switch roles, you know. He can write from the woman's perspective, and he's done that amazingly with this. He captures the essence of femininity and the power that exists therein. And, you know, how captivated men can be by those come-to-bed eyes. And so, yeah, this is beautiful, right? Be best to take it like a man and avoid all the controversy, because before the night is over, you'll be begging for mercy. Yeah, just a beautiful, fantastic flow of rhyme, too. So, yeah, I really liked it. I liked it a lot. What did you think, Bobby?
I think it speaks to the fact that not only can appearance be seductive, but confidence can speak can be seductive as well. Night will be perfect and sex will be explicit. We'll have my way with you. I'm a real bitch, simply wicked. There is a seduction in confidence that communicates itself very strongly. And when you've got two strong personalities, that is a magnet. Tonight I will molest you. You cannot say no to me. Got you wrapped around my finger. That confidence speaks volumes, and it is communicated so beautifully in this piece. And you're right. This is the first writer. I had this pointed out to me a few weeks ago. I tend to do that too, dance back and forth of genders, and I don't even think about it. And Poeta de Cabra, although that is the feminine Poeta, has done this quite beautifully.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by David Philip Ireland, and he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Skim a brittle frozen lake and dance into my heart again. Melt my mind with breaths of spring and lead me to the May. When the nights are lighter, when the days are lengthening, bluster me with morning thrills, lead me to my blue remembered hills. Fill my sky with untold stars, breathe me into life again. Sketch my air with summer nights, and choose for me the way. your magic hour of sunset, when reds and golds surprise. Roll my tongue with sugar pills and lead me to my unremembered hills. Once we were carol young, with all our years before us, and the two together as one. Now with our newfound song, aching to be sung, we'll cast our dreams on the blue hills. So dance me through the valentine to where our love is sheltering. Shower me in blossom sparks, hawthorn scented bay. To sage Augustus clothes us with frosted robes of silvery. When seasons move against our will, we'll walk on our blue remembered hills. Against our will, and we'll remember it. Ooh, and seasons move against our will.
Song and excellent singing as well. You know, you can feel the love and the remembrance of this blue hill and the life that was built upon it. Once we were callow and young with all our years before us, ever two together as one. Now with our newfound song aching to be sung, we'll cast our dreams upon the blue hills. And then, you know, I really liked it, the last sentence where it says, when seasons move against our will on blue remembered hills. Just a beautiful, beautiful job, David. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautiful, heartfelt, and romantic song. I like that it's about that kind of love that shelters, that, you know, sees somebody through the difficult times. I really like that second stanza with fill my sky with untold stars, breathe me into life again. You know, it feels like the idea of coming back to life after going through a difficult time. I think it makes for a wonderful extended metaphor. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, this has hit me in one of my weak spots. I am always in constant awe of those who have the facility and the gift to put thoughts and words to music. To me, that is just miraculous. It's wondrous. This is such a beautiful thing. I like the refrain. It keeps talking about the blue remembered hills. I love that. It's just has such a reminiscence and a mystery to it, and it's like one of those shared when you have a shared history with someone, something that you could point at and say, remember this, and it's an unspoken thing because you both experience it. And I'm just amazed that we don't see more of these songs out there somewhere being recorded, because this is wonderful.
Oh, he's got a whole YouTube page of them.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Because
he's been singing for many years.
Oh my goodness!
Many years.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because that is deserved. It's nice to hear that kind of talent gets recognition.
Absolutely.
So you said there's a YouTube page, Pam?
Yeah, yeah. He has a YouTube page. Like, if you click on his YouTube video, like, if you click on the video where it says, you know, go to YouTube, you go to it, and you can find his page.
Oh, okay.
I mean, obviously
great.
Not
you.
During a show. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I've got the next write-up. This is by Stan Holliday, and it's called Slow Dance. During this morning's wake-up kiss, a light brushing of our lips, an early hint of coming bliss, we played with just our fingertips. Reluctantly, we have to fight as demands of work intrude on passion's unobtrusive start, a beginning to romantic mood. Thinking of you all throughout the day, midday call to say that I love you. Your husky voice gives you away, can't hardly wait till work is through. You meet my sweaty self at the door with a smile and an iced tea. We both can tell what's soon in store. I'm too dirty, don't hug me. You set the table while I take a shower. I waste no time getting through. A slow build-up to passion's power. That dress sure does look good on you. Wine coolers and candlelight. The perfume I bought for you. Whate'er we had was cooked just right. Can't wait to get my hands on you. We throw the dishes in the sink and turn to taste each other's lips. Heat slowly rises to the brink. I trace the outline of your hips and then follow you down the hall. Uninterrupted kiss and a close hug. Clothes scatter like leaves in the fall. A laugh at stumbling on the rug. We finally collapse on the bed, which is an arm and which is a leg. Fervent as the night we wed, make love to me, you beg. No fumbling like in younger years. We know each other like a book and how to shift each other's gears. You repose, I pause and look. We've waited for this the whole day and waltz through our own slow dance. Now begins the real foreplay. To show each other true romance. Our fingers explore every place, not only obvious spots. Panting as both pulses race, sweat as we both get the hots. Your full breasts so soft and round, my manhood is more than ready. Lips and lipstick everywhere found, voices growing coarse, unsteady. Both our mouths find partner center, but careful, not for too long. You whisper that it's time to enter. I'm well prepared to go along. At last we start that ancient dance, reserved for those in love, a hot, thick, happy circumstance. Me below, you up above. You shudder through your first climax. I slow, and then we change position. With easy rhythm, you relax. I build you toward your next fruition. It doesn't take but just a bit until we both tense and moan, and the peak we both now hit. This time, you are not alone. I gently collapse in your arms. Our sweat and whisper both now mingle. As I admire your sweet warm charms, I begin to feel a tingle and poem. Wow. That was an epic poem. You know, it really had the length to it. And it was well filled out. During this morning's wake-up kiss, a light of brushing our lips, an early hint of coming bliss. We played with just our fingertips. I mean, what a way to wake up. And then, you know, you go through your day and you get home and you share a meal. And then the fun begins with a kiss and a hug and a laugh tripping over a rug. And then, you know, you go through the whole act of making love, and, you know, the imagery is fantastic. I mean, you know, I feel guilty like a voyeur having watched this couple make love, you know, and her to climax twice for his one. So that's well done. That's the way to do it right there. But that said, what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. That is definitely the way to do it. You know, I like that he has that attention to detail where he starts the foreplay not with necessarily the physical, you know, like but the delicate physical, and then the you know, mention of thinking of her all day, you know, checking in on them, you know, and then you know, I thought you know, the interaction between them as they set the table, as they drink the wine, and then as they throw the dishes in the sink and then let them be, because at that point they're so physically interested in each other. It had a really nice rhyme pattern to it that was consistent, and I really liked that. And it was just a fun and a clever sensual rite, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this piece because it speaks to the romanticism of a shared history. Now, we all know what the excitement of a new encounter can be. I mean, it's electric. It's the newness. The sparks fly. The angels weep. The earth moves. But then you've got an established relationship here, where the mystery is solved, but there's still the excitement of being able to please the person that you care so deeply about, and that's half the pleasure is giving them pleasure, not only taking it but giving it. And this speaks to that beautifully. It speaks of an established, like I said, an established relationship. These are partners who are so familiar with one another that they could wander each other blindfolded. But still, there's that excitement. There's that spark. And that is real romance, real magic. And I think this piece says it so beautifully.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. And would you please read for our next incredible writer?
I would be delighted. And what have we got coming at us? Oh, is that me?
Yes.
Smartass. I like that. You get extra points for that. Okay. You caught me completely unaware on that one. You get high marks for that one. Okay, here we go. Who's this Captain B2 character? Midnight Pas de Deux. In all the world, there is no heart for me like yours. In all the world, there is no love for you like mine. Quote by Maya Angelou. L'entrée. She sees him entering the room as if entering a stage, black shawl, collar, tuxedo, and waistcoat, black satin bow tie, black evening dress loafers, tall, ruggedly handsome, ill at ease in the tux. He fiddles with his cufflinks, adjusts his tie, tugs at his waistcoat. He spots her across a sea of après ballet partygoers. Strapless black velvet formal slit up the side, exposing leg. Amethyst lamé, brocade bolero jacket, amethyst necklace and drop earrings. She toys with her necklace and her fingers brush her cleavage. He makes his way across the crowded ballroom. He greets and is greeted warmly along the way, his gaze never straying far from the comely, captivating velvet gown. He knows the person speaking with her and moves in closer. She notices his stealth, adroit ballet through the throng. Approaching her companion, he greets him with familiarity and politely, deftly engineers an introduction to her. The pas de deux has begun. The adagio. As they converse, the orchestra begins to play a tango. Do you tango? He asks her. Of course, she replies. He takes her champagne flute, places it on a server's tray, and leads her to the middle of the dance floor. Their movements become the vertical expression of a horizontal wish, flowing together as if they had known each other forever. He holds her like the skin on her thigh was his reason for living, then lets her go like it's being ripped from his chest. The separation maddening, she spins as he pulls her back quickly, as if he intended to have his way with her there on the dance floor. The music ends. He dips her back deeply, their faces almost touching, their gaze locked, expression on his face like she ruined him for life. His arm still around her, the room filled with people seems to vanish. Their attention still fixed on each other, she gathers her clutch bag as if by unspoken mutual agreement they head for the door, and it seems that the hotel will have two more guests tonight. The variations. Emotions build inside them like a gathering storm, losing all sense of who they are, where they are, desire shooting through them like lightning, igniting them. A Pandora's box of evidence and eroticism opens. It was difficult for them to know who had the role of seducer, so evenly matched were the dancers in this provocative ballet. And the more they resisted, the more fascinated they became, propelled toward the moment of surrender, the point of no return. Raw passion and carnal appetites, shutting out all moral judgments, replaced by yearning to seduce, to be seduced, to lose control, to know the pleasure of being taken past all limits, to abandon thought, let delicious desire descend, be overwhelmed. Their movements became the vertical prelude to their horizontal wish, flowing together as they had known each other forever. He holds her like her body was his reason for living, for breathing, and at once unbridled appetites burst forth in mutual intoxication. The coda. Awakened curiosity had given way to their perfect pas de deux. In the exquisite warmth of afterglow, two bodies lay entwined. The two, feeling as one, they luxuriated in their pleasure, utterly, blissfully spent. They contentedly succumbed to sleep. As morning's light breaks through partially parted curtains, consciousness surfaces, and he slowly opens his eyes. Reaching out, his hands find the rumpled covers empty, and her clothing and clutch bag conspicuously gone. Crestfallen, his eyes then catch sight of the red rose on his pillow, the stem of the rose wrapped in a paper note, both captive within the amethyst ring she had been wearing that night. Slipping her ring off the rose, he sees a phone number, a note. There are those who are bewitched by what they dare not desire. There are those who have the courage to reach out and accept what is given freely and completely, passionately and unreservedly, as life's greatest gift, that of love. Guess which ones we are. End poem.
Wow, that was just mesmerizing and hypnotic, Bobby. I mean, you know, it was like, am I watching reading a stage play or, watching a master conduct an orchestra? I mean, you know, this was just so beautifully penned with your stages of variations, you know, especially with the last, I like the name of the last stanza, the coda, and, yeah, I mean, you know, it's had such fantastic imagery, and emotion throughout. You just connected with these two as they connected and danced like they were making love, and then leaving the dance and then making love. And then, you know, him waking up to an empty bed with her gone, but then seeing the rose on her pillow wrapped with her ring and a note. And the note was just beautiful. I really loved it, Bobby. That was just fantastically stunning.
Thank you.
And amazing. No kidding. Just beautiful.
Thank you.
I really loved it throughout, Bobby. Incredible. You're so talented. Absolutely. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, yes. This is, it's stunning. It's beautiful. I like how you take us through the different parts of the dance, that you show us how these two get physically and emotionally closer to, and how they, the sensuality of the dance itself, the sensuality of the tango. You can, your description of their movements in each part, I think, was beautiful and vivid. I really like the separation maddening. She spins as he pulls her back quickly, as if he intended to have his way with her there on the dance floor. The music ends. He dips her back deeply, their faces almost touching, their gaze locked, expression on his face like she's ruined him for life. Just beautiful lines there, Bobby, and a wonderful seductive rite all the way through.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
I just, this is one time where I did before, I took musical movements and wrote to that. And with this, I did, I took the pas de deux in ballet and applied the different segments of the pas de deux production because it just, it seemed appropriate, especially with the tango, and it seemed to fit so beautifully.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you for sharing that, Bobby. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And Pam's going to be right back. Okay. All right, I'll read in place of Pam. Okay. All right. Myriad Dark is the next poet. And he brings us What Is This? By Myriad Dark. What is this image I have of you? Some mythical carnality filling me with your sensuality. A thunderous applause over the beating of your wings, burning brightly as the moon, with the aftertaste of the bite of the apple. What secrets do you clasp between your sacred columns? Such primal urges brimming over, it is unfathomable and an unbearable ache. I want to tear my skin to the bone to have you, to touch and taste you with all my senses. I want to drown in stars and swim in your waters, suffocate entangled in your deepest, tempestuous nature. Be struck blind by your lightning and wounded with your touch. Lay ruined among your scented sheets, bloodless and spent. Kissed by kiss, I climb the steps between your singularities, more marginal than bespoke, darker than your sensuosity. You are nocturnal and so infectious. I want to worship you in orgasm and death. And poem. Wow. That was a hard-hitting poem. I mean, when somebody's willing to throw themselves upon the fires of hell for you, that's a powerful connection. And I think we've definitely got that here. You know, he's captured by the carnality of her sensuality, and says to burn brightly with the moon with the aftertaste of what's the biting of an apple. What secrets do you clasp between your sacred columns? primal urges brimming over its unfathomable and unbearable ache. I want to tear my skin to the bone, to have you, to touch and taste you with all my senses. Just incredible imagery and emotion in this piece. What did you think, Bobby?
Oh, beautifully dark seduction. It's hypnotic. I mean, it just talks primal urges brimming over. This is unfathomable. An unbearable ache. I want to tear my skin to the bone to have you, to touch, to taste you. This is a hunger, almost an unbridled hunger. Suffocate entangled in your deepest tempestuous nature. This is a dark seduction. This person basically, it's almost a fatal attraction. The desire is so strong that they're willing to endure anything just to be able to experience this person, and that is both hypnotic, exciting, and frightening at the same time. And it has those qualities. I mean, it's a really well written. I want to worship you in orgasm and death. I mean, that's pretty profound. It's almost like they're willing to go like Romeo and Juliet to give the ultimate sacrifice just to be with this person, which is, this is a very dark rite, but beautifully done. It's just hypnotically exotic and very provocative.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And Pam, are you back? No. Okay, would you mind reading the next one, please, Bobby?
Not at all.
Awesome.
What was this? Stop munching on a pecan here. Sorry. Okay, July showers on, whoops, here we go. Here we are. Okay, whoops. can't read it. I'm ignoring this person. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, this is by Pinky Girl. It's called July Showers on Summer Flowers. The pastel lilies bloom under the shade of a chair. The daisies grow tall where they dare. The marigolds bloom without despair. The white poppies grow to show they care. July showers on summer flowers. The violets were here, but they are leaving. Colorful plants were not sick, just deceiving. The grass and weeds look so much alike. My feet barely notice any difference in the hike. July showers on summer flowers. The rose bush is taking a rest while it's hot, said some. Some said to feed the roses, but I think not. They blossom in pink and give a pleasing perfume. They seem to enjoy all who've come to bloom. July showers on summer flowers. And boom. That was it was very visceral, right? I mean, you can picture all of this as she described it. The violets were here, but they're leaving. Colorful plants are not sick, just deceiving. The grass and weeds look so much alike. Might be barely notice any difference in hike. Yeah, you know, when you're just enjoying the summer, that's just a beautiful thing. So I really liked it. It has a great rhyme flow. And I don't know, did you want to say anything about the poem, Bobby?
Oh, the rhyming scheme was very nice. From what I could tell, from not being able to read it, is a real handicap. But from the sound of it, it had a nice flow. It was very melodic. It sounded like a very very well done piece.
Thank you, Bobby. And welcome back, Pam.
Good to be back.
Did you get to hear the poem?
Yes, I did. I really like how she focused on the imagery of flowers. There was a nice rhyme and flow to it. The violets were here, but they are leaving. The colorful plants were not sick, just deceiving. The grass and the weeds look so much alike. My feet barely notice any difference in hike. Wonderful and intriguing lines there, and the idea of how oftentimes you don't notice the difference between a weed and a flower. Beautiful and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. All right, so I'm going to put you back to work since you're here, Pam.
All right.
Okay, and this is by Blues Man. I'll post that to the group. And there you go.
All right. Secret Admirer by Blues Man. And it goes like this. The blinding eye of death slowly set on the western horizon, the birth cry of the cocooning night exploding into the sky with the light of a million stars. The scent of deadly nightshade and funeral lilies drifted across the graveyard, carried on a cool spring breeze. Okay. Sorry, I lost my place. Let me get back to it. All right. The father of all nightmares picked up the alluring scent and stirred in his earthen bed. It was springtime. Everything was in bloom, including the virgins. Puberty passed, young rosebuds that would open to his desires. It had been a long, cold, and lonely, fruitless winter, and he was hungry in both stomach and loin. Eerily, the hinges creaked as he opened the lid of the mahogany box he had lain in for far too long. Stricken with grief over the death of his damned soulmate, the pain had carried him through the winter of his broken black heart. Not once had he fed, not once had he slipped his blood-gorged member into the valley of his earthbound desires. He had grieved as long as his instincts would allow. It was springtime in the village, and the virgins were waiting. From a slit cut in the heavy door of his mausoleum, he had watched her all winter. Every evening, at the twilight hour, when his death became life and dusk swept through the land, she would visit the grave of her departed true love, wearing the cloth of the covenant, the cloth of the convent, but not yet married to God. He could hear the beat of her heart pounding beneath her supple, ripe breast. The pace of the beats quickened as she laid on his grave and slipped her hand through an open seam hidden in the fold of her dress, searching for the steamy mound she had stayed for him. As she arched her hips in ecstasy amid the muffled moans of her forbidden fantasy, salty pearls of sadness ran from her eyes. The bane of her beloved could stand no more. He opened the door for the first time since the death of his mate and the death of her executioner, the one this virgin so passionately cried for, gone but not forgotten in both of their hearts, still writhing in ecstasy from this sadomasochist display of lust and grief. He floated across the hollow ground, touching down just a few feet from the foot of the grave. He leaned forward, feet leaving the ground slowly. He lowered himself, his body and cape completely enshrouding her, until he could feel her breath on his cheek. He whispered his greeting, a fell voice in the air. She opened her eyes, nostrils flared, eyes opened wider, but no scream came, only submission. His blood-gorged member brushed against her swollen mound, still hidden beneath her dress, and she moaned, still twitching from her self-induced ecstasy. He slid his ice-cold tongue into her moist, hot mouth, and his cold, black heart warmed just a bit. He sliced the strings with his razor-sharp nails, and her bodice tumbled off her, exposing the beauty of an hourglass waist and supple breast that no man had ever touched. Slowly, he traced his tongue down her long, inviting neck. Down he went, and goosebumps followed. He danced from breast to breast, from breast to creamy white breast, nipples hard from the one flick of his intoxicating tongue. She moaned, and he swelled. He could wait no longer. Pulling up her dress, he slid his icy dagger of love deep into her mound as he sunk the fangs of commitment deep into her lovely long neck. Reaching down with his razor-sharp nails, he pulled out just long enough to bloody his throbbing dagger of love, and with his next thrust gave her immortality. Wrapping his arms around her, he left her neck and slipped his tongue deep down into her throat, and her hips rose to meet his thrust. And then it happened. She traced her tongue to the curve of his neck, and he felt two sharp daggers pierce his skin. He screamed in ecstasy as he freed his dead swimmers covered in the blood still pouring from his members, from his member, consummating his marriage. Tombstone in their eyes, he carried his pale bride across the threshold of his mausoleum. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read, Pam. But, I mean, that was an epic poem. It was dark, sensual, well written throughout the poem. I mean, it's just a fantastically told story. You could see all this as he describes it, you know, and you're right there with him as, you know, as he goes through his lines. Yeah, just a powerful, powerful poem on the subject of life after death. And, yeah, I mean, just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I find myself thinking that this feels like a head-on collision between Jacqueline Suzanne and Edgar Allan Poe. If Poe wrote erotica, I think this is what it would look like. I mean, this is great storytelling. I mean, really great storytelling. The attention to detail, the storyline, you right there. I mean, it's just captivating. It is a very dark write, but very provocative. It's wonderfully imaginative, and you're led to believe that there's a vampirism at the, but never ever is the V word ever used, which I think is very artful. You're led to down you're led down the storyline. And you're done with such artfulness that it allows your imagination to fill in the missing pieces. So I think this is a really terrific write.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome caller 867 to the show. Oh, sorry, they're gone. Sorry. We had two callers that just dropped. So, yeah, I mean, if you were on and you got dropped, please call back. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's definitely epic. I like the, you know, how you can tell he's really into the whole vampire ecstasy thing. You know, just really, I'm trying to think of the right words. I'm wordless. Definitely a lot of action going on, that's for sure. So, yep, very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Great comment. All right, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. We'll post this to the board. All right. Do. Okay. And when you see this, Bobby, would you mind?
Not at all. Especially since I know this time it isn't me. That was clever. Yeah, I've not had that done to me before. I really like that. Okay, we have seduction. Oh my goodness, let me bring this up here. We have seduction, lexicalization, inductive rhyme metering by Alame Gamo. Wow. Now you got a tongue wrapped around this one. Let's see, rhyme metering is just, oh, okay. And there's all kinds of, my goodness, the author's note is longer than the poem. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I really love you, 6/1. My call of a true woo, 6/2. Meet me in milieu, 6/3. Yes, ma'am.
Bobby, you
yes,
don't
ma'am.
Need to, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but since it's such a short poem, you don't have to read the numbers. Those are like the syllable and beat count.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, no, thank you. Thank you for enlightening me. Otherwise, I'd have been tripping through the whole thing. No, thank you. I appreciate that. Please feel free to interrupt me again at any time. I really love you, my call of a true woo. Meet me in milieu with peace to pursue through. We do and sue true. XO, hello to libido. The azure is sheen. Stars are not in action on their far location, but with admiration for seduction, diction, lexicalization. End poem. And the rule says here, rhyme metering poetry is a style of poetry which helps students in any linguistic professional to be familiar with style norms. My God, it's just like there's a tutorial following this. There will be a quiz after the show.
Right, no kidding. I mean, that was a very scientific, right. But I mean,
really?
You know, it had an excellent flow to it. But, you know, it's definitely a wonderful little brevity. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. It is a beautiful brevity. Bobby, you did a wonderful read. I like how precise he is with the meter and the flow of this. And I have to say, it's really nice all the way through. But my favorite lines are, we do ensure true XO. You know, the idea of true hugs and kisses, true love, and then for seduction diction, the idea that true seduction comes from using the right words. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think of the poem?
I think it was an education. I like being introduced to new forms. Because I'm a learning junkie, and there are so many variations in poetry that you could get entangled and lost in them endlessly. But this is really the flow is nice. I like like Pam says, for seduction, diction, lexicalization, which is and she's exactly right. The right words can make all the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. Okay, I've got the next poem, and here, you speak of the devil and he appears. Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, is up next, and he just appeared on the board. So, hello, Frank.
Oh, good.
All right, so he has a sound card for his. Now we'll play this.
Mi amor. The first time I laid eyes on you, I saw a glow of the twinkling stars. The radiance of the universe through the romantic lens of your exotic eyes, silvery moonbeams in pellucid sparkles of your seductive smile. Your eyes were a beauty of pearly luster, of gemmy moonstones. Your dulcet tone enraptured me like a ravenous passion. My thirsty lips begged for a cool sip of your erotic kiss. Your redolent perfumes thus stimulated my sensual sentience. The pleasures behind your dalliance in the taste of your amber honey. I wanted to bathe in the deepest ocean of your lust, plunge into the orgasmic typhoon of your lunar swells, be soaked inside the acoustic waves of powerful shivers, explore every wet temptation of one interminable night. The chorus of our lovemaking tangled with the motion of our hips. The heat of your body covered me like a flame from head to toe, till I was consumed by the aching ashes of our melting bones. The first kiss was French, ooh la la, but the last one was Spanish, ole. Tu boca de no me sed, e tus ricos labios bebí, y comerci el sabor de tu vino, tan dulce sobre mis papilas gustativas. Your mouth filled my glass, from your juicy lips I drank, and I knew the taste of your wine, so sweet upon my taste buds, my wild dove. Ole, ole.
Bravo, Frank, bravo. That was a killer, right? You know, you have such a, you're the king of sensuality, and this is proven in this rite. I mean, you know, you really capture the headiness of being intoxicated by somebody and their taste and everything about them, through seeing through their eyes to how the universe looks. And I wanted to bathe in the deepest ocean of your lust, plunge into the orgasmic typhoon of your lunar swirls, be soaked inside the acoustic waves of powerful shivers, explore every wet temptation of one interminable night. A wonderful job, Frank. Epic poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is, This is epic and beautiful. And wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through it. And I like the part that you mentioned, but I also really like the lines, your dulcet tone enraptured me like a ravenous passion. My thirsty lips begged for a cool sip of your erotic kiss. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, are you with us?
I am, and I'm in my seat here, and I'm admiring this. Frank got a well-deserved gold for this, and each time I hear or read one of Frank's pieces, I'm always learning more about his writing. It's very layered, very intricate, and I don't know why this didn't strike me sooner, but he is a master storyteller. I mean, this is a story from start to finish, beautifully told, attention to detail, great metaphor, wonderful visual imagery, but he takes you from beginning to end with a very solid, a reasonable, very, very logical progression, and does not fail to at the end to give you a very sensual conclusion. These are wonderfully romantic, sensual, erotic. I think if Frank ever put all of his writings like this in a book, I think the thing would spontaneously combust.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, he definitely needs a publicist or something, somebody to give him some exposure.
My goodness, yes.
He definitely has a talent. There's no doubt.
Very much so.
He's captivating, you know, even from the male perspective. I mean, you know, it's a...
Oh, I say, Pablo Neruda, eat your heart out.
Yeah. Right. And he says in the group that it's about a flamenco dance. Wow, one hell of a dance.
Yeah, very believable.
Okay, so I have a poem up. This is by Unholy Bambini, and it's part of the open poetry. So it's called What Am I Missing? What I'm Missing. Falling rain to help me hear your otherworldly face manifested so clear. Missing love of a wayward knave to be bitten, and it's you I crave. End poem. Wow, that was a little bit haunting in its presentation. I mean, it's very impactful for a brevity. You can feel the emotion that he has for this person that is in another world. And but no, I thought it was just a fantastic little brevity. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree. Great rhyme and flow, a fantastic brevity. I like how it's a combination of dark and sensual. So, you know, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what do you think?
26 words, and what power. I mean, this is a real, this is a micro brevity almost. Like Pam said, a great flow, great rhyme. It tells the story, and it is very haunting and dark. And that's quite an accomplishment with such an economical write. This is a very, very talented writer.
I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Pam, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. In Your Eyes by Scraps and Scribbles, and it goes like this. What can be said about your lovely eyes has not been said 1,000 times before. Perhaps they're blue, the template for the skies. You could eclipse perhaps their carbon shadow core, or maybe just compare them to the earth when she's a blue composite seen from space, or boldly I'll declare their beauty's birth to shelter her when tempests cross your face, or write a sonnet solely for your tears, illuminate the moonlight stores within, declare your gaze is older than your years, or say those orbs are like a sapphire's twin. I could say things like that, but then again, why not just kiss and let my lips explain? End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I really like that. I mean, you know, it's all about the eyes, and, you know, there's so much to the eyes that, you know, you can see other galaxies and other worlds from in somebody's eyes. You know, declare your gaze is older than your years, or say those orbs are like sapphire's twins. And, you know, some people just have these incredible eyes that, you know, are mesmerizing and hypnotizing, exotic and erotic. It's a beautiful poem. Now, what did you think, Bobby?
There's a lot of skill in here. The meter's spot on. It is iambic pentameter down to the last stroke. It is a beautifully assembled Shakespearean sonnet with a very artful use of the enjambment in here. Or maybe just compare them to the earth when she's a blue composite seen from space. Or boldly, I'll declare them beauty's birth to shelter her when tempests cross your face. Like I said, great enjambment which is a real trick to continue that thought into the next line and make it flow so beautifully. This is a really splendid sonnet. It delivers a very powerful message. The language is beautifully done. It's a great use of language and metaphor, and a very considering the rigorous format, the style that was chosen. This is a superb piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And let's see here. I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Bobby?
Maybe? Sure. We have Woody by Paul Brott. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You look so perfect, smooth and real. Feel my Monroe sex appeal. I know you're just sculpture, but I'm a sexual vulture. Look, you've got a Woody. And on.
I like it. I mean, that was funny. When you're sexually attracted to a sculpture. And, yeah, I thought it was just, you know, well done. Definitely pun intended, for sure. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is definitely a clever brevity, great rhyme and flow, and a nice surprise at the end. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think it was a very clever takeoff, a parody of Ovid's story of Pygmalion, a sculptor that makes a statue to present to representing his ideal of womanhood, and then falls in love with his own creation, which he names Galatea. This is flip the roles, here's a woman falling in love with a wooden statue, and it has a little tongue in cheek, wry humor. This is a very clever write.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I've got the next piece here. And this is by Lowell Poe, and it's called The Way the Wild Often Do. We waltz neath stars through forest lands, our primal dance on foreign sands, round the night fire. You could hear the beach choir, the way the wild often do. He looked at me with just a glance, a whirlwind world of pure romance, so much excitement, almost defiant. We roamed around the world at will, and when the night was dark and still, we were inspired, the dance of desire, the way the wild often do. Then we sat on the ledge of a rolling hill, I with my feathered quill, you with your song, watching the wild ones below. So we joined the throng. We were meant to dance this life away, hypnotized by your sway. Baby, I love you. I love you. The way the wild often do. End poem. So I thought that was beautiful. You know, it speaks of love and, you know, living your wildest life and roaming the world at will. And then at night when it's dark and still, you're inspired by the dance of desire, the way the wild often do. So just a wonderful poem, wonderful writing. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really thought this was beautiful. And hold on, let me check something. Okay, sorry. I really thought this was beautiful. It had wonderful imagery all the way through. I love how it's about that kind of love that is wild and free. I thought that was a wonderful repetitive phrase, the way the wild often do. I really like the imagery Then we sat on the ledge of a rolling hill, I with my feathered quill, you with your song, watching the wild ones below as we joined the throng. Really beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And what did you think?
I agree with Pam. It is a beautiful like. It has a lyrical quality to it. It speaks of the natural, primitive form of love, almost a ferocious, uncivilized form that the two indulge in, and then and enjoy one another's company. This is a very, very beautiful write.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Redwoods by Forgotten Dream. And it goes like this. We grow together, legs curling like hieroglyphics, writing coded messages that deep roots decipher. Pale birch arms encircle my sturdy arched trunk as fingers vine in the rustled strands of his mahogany hair. Humid skin presses together, hips meet like conjoined skeletons, fused and shifting. Freckles spread a constellation across alabaster nose, tapping softly against the soft curve of his. Forehead melt as flushed lips join. His mouth is silk pillows and malleable wax. Shared history entwined, the solid earth, building, holding, reinforcing the core of us. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And that was a fascinating poem. You know, I like the title of it, Redwoods. It's one of my favorite trees. It's because of the size and its age and its beautiful connection to the earth is ancient. So I thought it was just a fascinating poem, just filled with visceral imagery, and you know, you can feel the depth of the connection as they grow together in this jungle connection. Just a beautiful poem. Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I agree. The analogies to nature really give it a very primal quality. Humid skin presses together, hips meet like conjoined skeletons. Great visual imagery, and the parallel to people being like joined trees. There's a very subtle reference there to Bacchus and Philemon, which is your Greek mythology, where the old couple gives hospitality to Zeus and Hermes, and he asks them for their wish, and they wish to die together. They're an old couple, and when they die, they both become trees joined to one another. So I like that allusion to the tale of Bacchus and Philemon, and but also the reference to shared history entwined beneath solid earth, building, holding, reinforcing the core of us. That last stanza just speaks volumes. It's elegant and eloquent.
Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And would you mind reading the next one, please, Bobby?
Not at all. Okay, what have we got coming down the... Okay, we have More and More by Hope Soul. More and More, let this not be the only time you take me on. Hips to palm of hands, muffling whispers of please don't ever stop. Sweat from flesh on flesh, tongue tied, curls of long dark hair wrapped around heated passions. Breathe in deeper so I can feel myself in your chest. Panting steam between lips and fingertips, red wine dripping down my tailbone, collecting at those sacred dimples. Pull into me once more before I cry out more. Don't stop. Let this not be the last time you take me on. And go.
Wow. Beautiful read, Bobby. And that was a steamy poem. I mean, it's filled with heat and desire, and you can feel the sweat from the flesh on flesh. And then the tongue-tied curls of long dark hair wrapped around heated passions. Breathe in deeper so I can feel myself in your chest. Yeah, just a powerful, powerful poem on the connection of two people. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, it's beautiful, it's powerful. I really like how she already wants more even as it's just beginning. I really like the stanza with breathe in deeper so I can feel myself in your chest, panting steam between lips and fingertips. Beautiful, seductive lines, and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Dan. Thank you. And Bobby, your thoughts?
I also enjoy this. I like the fact that it is sensual, but in a very understated way. It talks about breathe in deep, again, like Sam said, breathe in deeper so I can fill myself in your chest. That is just such a provocative statement, like this person is their oxygen, and without them, they can't exist. But again, I like the structure of it, the way it's formatted, and like I said, it's a very provocative piece, but in a very low-key way.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Sam, did you comment on that one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I've got the next poem up here. This is called Sex in a Dress by Little Diddy, and it goes, you watch her dance, your eyes focused in, face of an angel, her body's booming. She's deadly serious about having fun. She's nice and dark, kissed by the sun. You see that smile, the sideways glance. You stare at her body, especially her hands. She changes it up, keeps it fresh. Poetry in motion, sex in a dress. She makes it hard and makes it so easy. Her eyes said it all. She wanted to please me. Laughing and talking, a little romance. She took me home. Now it's my turn to dance. End poem. And that was a pleasure to read. I mean, it had beautiful flow to it, as well as imagery was great. I mean, you watch her dance, your eyes focus in, face of an angel, her body's booming. Fantastic poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, wonderful rhyme and flow. Definitely a fantastic poem. I really like those lines. She changes it up, keeps it fresh, poetry in motion, sex in a dress. And also the stanza after that with the idea of, you know, communicating with the eyes and the body. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was an excellent piece. I liked the wordplay in it. She's deadly serious about having fun. Just a very clever play on words. You see the smile, the sideways glance. It's great storytelling. It's very direct. It's very sensual, again, in a low-key way. And then the last stanza, laughing and talking, a little romance. She took me home. Now it's my turn to dance. Great ending. This is a really terrific piece.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Pam, we've got one more left and 4 minutes. So would you mind giving that a read, please?
I'd be happy to. Thunderstruck Invite by Patty Mike. You feel it, the pummel, the rhythm from across the pearl-covered valley, Zack Snyder's sensibilities in stylized slow motion, the rain pounding in sync to thunderstruck over the horizon. I measure your infidelity by the fragrance lost to your elegance, lust dangling like mistletoe, covered in red, inviting, dangling over your body. You are a bushel of grapes, honey for my new wine. You invite me in, and I greatly partake. You taste like the sweetest buttercream and pussy willows. The hyacinths are dancing, moaning, from outside your bedroom window to the sound of me fingering you like a Stradivarius violin, composing its finest symphony ever composed. My thoughts to your thoughts, our bodies to our minds, blinking spirit to soul, pollinating seeds, cultivating bees, pumping my blood vessels into your garden of Eden, making our love last forever and forward and onward from eternity and into its beyond. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I thought that had an excellent flow to it. You know, it really just blew along nicely. And, I measure your infidelity by the fragrance lost to your elegance, lust dangling like mistletoe covered in red, inviting, dangling over your body. You are a bushel of grapes, honey for my new wine. And I really liked it. You know, it had a wonderful appeal to it. What did you think, Bobby?
It was a very artful write. There are some subtleties in there that if you're not paying attention to them, they'll fly right by you, like the comment, Zack Snyder's sensibilities. That's a film director. I thought that was a very clever reference, if you know Zack Snyder, you know the style. Sensibilities in stylized slow motion, the rain pounding in sync. That metaphor right there greatly defines what they're trying to say. And I like the storytelling. I like the metaphors. I think it's a very well done piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. A wonderful piece. Very clever line. I like the use of imagery and sound and scent, you know, all the way through. Just a great write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. All right, ladies, thank you for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voice, and most especially your time. Much love and have a great night.
You too.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Thank you, ladies. Bye.